Good morning. We'd like to welcome this morning the Zion Lutheran School students and staff and their families, some of whom will be singing for us. I'd like to say, all will be singing, but that would panic the parents. So, Zion Lutheran School students who will be singing for us this morning. Let us open our worship here for the first Sunday in Lent with the singing of our opening hymn, Glory Be to Jesus.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, March 9th, 2025 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Ken Richard. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 433, Glory Be to Jesus, 433 in the Lutheran Service Book. Donna, Katrina, and Joshua Hellman are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in memory of Donald Hellman. Josh, Rachel, and Caleb Welker are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in thanksgiving for their many blessings.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father.
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence.
He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler.
You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day,
nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday.
1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you.
You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High who is my refuge.
No evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent.
For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the first Sunday in Lent, from the book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, beginning at the first verse. When you come into the land that the Lord your God has given you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given you and to your house, and you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the sacrament of the altar, what is the sacrament of the altar?
It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself, for us Christians to eat and to drink.
The epistle reading from Romans, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 8th verse. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, we invite the students from Zion Lutheran School to come forward to sing for us this morning. If you would please be seated where you're at, students, for the children's message, and we'll collect the place papers. Stay down here, boys. Have a seat. And if there's any other children who'd like to come forward for the children's message, please be welcome to at this time. Okay, so where are you at? Where are you at?
Church.
Church. Okay, you're at church. Whew. Okay, we got that one down. All right. All right, whose house are you at? God's house. Right. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, 7th and 8th graders, you probably already know this. I'm pretty confident in you, and you know these things. Generally speaking, when somebody comes to your house, who does all the work? You, your family does. You do, right? Right? So when it's your birthday, right, and somebody, family's coming to your house, how many of you have to go open the door for people to come in and welcome them at the door? You know, go get the door. Yep, okay. All right. When we serve cake and ice cream, right, we're serving it to our guests first or last? First, we serve our guests first, right? So when we're in God's house, who's doing the serving here? You or God? God is doing the serving, right? So when we had our Old Testament reading today, you know, they're talking about worship, they're talking about church, they're talking about basically the liturgy that the people were to follow. When they had their first fruits, they were to bring a gift into church. They were to bring the first 10% of what they made, and they brought it into church, and they brought it to the priest, and he set it before the altar, and they said words back and forth. Does this sound kind of familiar? When you come to church, do you say words back and forth? Yes, and whose words do we say back and forth? Do we make those up, or do we find them in the Bible and say them? Yeah, we find the words in the Bible, and we say those words. So if you were to look in your hymnal, it's under here. If you were to look in your hymnal at the worship service, it'll tell you what Bible verses you are saying back and forth. Matter of fact, the psalm of the day that we said back and forth, did I make that up, or is that straight out of the Bible? Straight out of the Bible. So we're saying God's words back and forth to ourselves. And that's very important for us to remember. What we do here isn't something that we just kind of like, hey, this is a neat idea. Let's go ahead and do this. No, it's not. It is something that God has asked us to do. God has asked us to come to his house. He has said, when you come to my house, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you by distributing to you the forgiveness of sins that Jesus earned on the cross. I'm going to serve you by making you my child. I'm going to serve you by forgiving all of your sins. And this is what God does for us. And then we, after we've had our sins forgiven, respond by saying, thank you. And we say thank you in many and various ways. We say thank you by our songs, our hymns, our praises, and our prayers. And so we come to church. Now, is church for us and worship for us something that's like, I can go, I can not go, I could do or not do? It doesn't really matter because God doesn't care. Does God care about worship? Yes, he does. Does God delight in the fact that you're worshiping him this morning? Yes, he does. And so worship for a Christian is so very important. It's where we receive the gifts that God has to give us, and it's where we return thanks to God for everything he has done for us. Now, in the evening when you're at home before bed or when you get up first thing in the morning, can you say thank you to God for all your gifts? Absolutely. But he has asked us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. He's asked us to come to worship. He's asked us to be in church. He's asked us to speak back and forth his words to him. And in this way, we show our praise, our love, and our devotion to God. And in that way, you sang this morning, most of you. And you sang in glory to God and in praise of God and in thanksgiving to God. So as we come to worship, We are here to say thank you to God for all the good gifts that he has given us. We receive from him and give our thanks back in return. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all the good gifts that you give to us, for the gifts of life and salvation, for the gift of forgiveness and the promise of eternal life and the resurrection of the dead. Accept our thanksgivings this morning and accept our praise, which is our right offering to you. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. Thank you for coming down. Thank you, students, for singing. And if you would, go back to your seats. And we continue with the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 521, Christ, the Lord of Hosts, Unshaken. Hymn 521 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning is today's Old Testament reading, the reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, when you come into that land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, who is doing the work? Who is doing the doing in this reading? Is it reward or gift? Which one is it? Of course it is a gift, because the rhythm of Scripture, the rhythm of scriptural worship is from God to us, and then us back to God. We are the ones who receive the gifts of God, and then who is the giver, and we in our turn give thanks back to God for all of the gifts that he has given to us. We find a definition of worship when we look at the Athanasian Creed. And the universal faith is this, that we worship one God in three persons and three persons in one God. For the right faith is that we confess and we believe that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is both God and man. God desires us to trust in him, to believe in him. God desires us to accept our blessings from him. And this is what he declares to be the true worship. The greatest possible comfort comes from this doctrine that the highest worship of the gospel is to desire the forgiveness of sins, grace, and righteousness. This is the worship Christ himself speaks of when he says, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life." The Father says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." So worship for the Christian is essentially faith in God through Jesus Christ. Now to the unbelieving world, this worship that we assemble for and for here today might seem just a little bit silly. Maybe it seems just a little bit odd. We gather together on a Sunday morning on a regular basis to hear words read, often to eat a morsel of bread and take not even a small swallow of wine, to apply water to our babies, to sing, to pray. We create no product that is seen or sold, and yet what we do here is central to our faith. It is receiving from God his good gifts and returning to God our thanksgivings. Worship is central to the believer's life and has been part of the faith life of a faithful Christian since the creation of the world. We even note that by the time of Cain and Abel, it was customary to appear before the Lord, bringing the first fruit offerings that they had had from their livelihoods and bring them as a sacrifice. Remember when God rescued Noah and the flood was over? What was one of the first things that Noah did? He opened the door to the ark, or God opened the door to the ark, and then they came out. Noah built an altar, and he made sacrifices of thanksgiving to the Lord. Abraham was to sacrifice his only son, the son of the promise, considering that God could bring the dead back to life. And when Isaac's life was spared, Abraham offered a ram in his place. And who provided the ram for the sacrifice? God had provided the ram for the sacrifice. In Exodus, God gave clear instructions for the priesthood and the tabernacle and its fixtures and the place and the manner and the way of worship. Nothing but the best and the finest were to be used in the house of the Lord, and we strive to carry on that ideal today. We offer our finest to the Lord in our communion wear, in the art and in the care with which we keep up our buildings, in the decorum with which we present ourselves in the Lord's house. Christ our Lord honored and kept the Sabbath, and indeed he himself became our Sabbath rest. In Christ, then, Christian worship is a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. As these words should sound familiar to you, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. This is the sacrifice of thanksgiving that does not merit or earn the forgiveness of sins, yet through such faith, thanksgivings, we who have been reconciled to God show our gratitude for the forgiveness of sins and for the other blessings that we have received from our God. Worship, receiving the gifts of God, life, salvation, forgiveness of our sins, all these flow from Jesus' death on the cross. Through the word and the sacrament also connects us to our past and to those who will come after us. Worship, the worship service is a bridge that spans across time. Here we read and ponder the triumphs of the saints. We ponder the mysteries of what Christ has done for us. It is not all that dissimilar from what we attempt to do by being aware of our own nation's history, its heroes, its villains, its triumphs, its tribulations. From the founding fathers who brought forth from this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the principles that all men are created equal, to the farmers and the laborers who established this great nation, to men like Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett. The list could go on and on and on and on, but we as Americans stand in their line. As Christians, we stand in the line of salvation history. Oh yes, it's true. Sometimes we get so focused on our own time and the own work that we are also given to do and which we are to labor in that we forget the heritage of our Lutheran faith that has been handed down to us through the centuries and from our grandparents and great-grandparents in the faith. We remember those who have seen to it that baptism exists among us, that the sacrament of the altar is held in high honor in our midst, and most of all, we remember before us those who have contended for Christ, those who have withstood the assaults of Satan, and those who have battled against the world before we took up those battles and fights. They have stood against the assaults of Satan, and those faithful warriors have been laid to rest from this nave here before this cross, covered in the pall, reminding us that their baptism is their armor, and our baptism is our armor, and Christ is our confidence. Our hands and ties of faith reach out across the generations, holding on to those who have come before us and to those who will come after us. We desire also to have the example of those Christians and those saints who have come before us so that we might learn to live as they have lived. And we desire that our most holy and precious faith be passed down to the generations that will come after us. Through the generations, know the word of life, the proclamation of salvation. We want those things to be present for our children and for our grandchildren. And to this end, we have established not just the worship services in this place and the Sunday schools in this place, but we have established a school in this community to make sure that the word of faith is proclaimed to not just students, but to their families also, to all in the community who desire to hear the word of God and receive an education that proclaims Christ as the Savior of the world, and in him we have salvation. And we seek to secure still within its walls the word of faith and make it a refuge as best we can in this world from the assaults of the world and the assaults of the devil. We seek to extend the worship of the church, that is, the thankfulness and praise for the work of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, to rest within the walls of not just this building, but within the walls of our church and our school, but not only to the children, but also to their families and to the strengthening of their faith. So if they do not yet know the Savior, they may come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. Yes, we have a worship service. We have what we call the liturgy. And the liturgy is a vehicle for passing the faith on to the generations that will come after us. The hymnody, the prayers, the creeds, along with the word and the sacraments are essential and central to our life in Christ. Worship is vital to the life of the Christian. It's not an option to the individual or to the life of the Christian church. Worship is the very substance and essence of the Christian faith and life. Communion with God through his word and holy sacraments is essential to the Christian and to the entire people of God. So as you worship, so shall you believe. And as you believe, so shall you worship. These two are bound together and they cannot be separated. Our worship in the Lutheran church is a celebration of the victory of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the saving action of God through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is proclaimed among us through the word of God. And in and through the word of God, we celebrate the opening of the gates of heaven for us through what Jesus has done in our place. So even on this, the first Sunday in Lent, we look to Easter and we say, vain the stone, vain the watch, vain the seal. Christ has burst the gates of hell. Death in vain forbids his rise. Christ has opened paradise. And so may the words of our worship rise to heaven this morning, and may they be a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord our God. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory. Please be seated.
You've been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Plaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Plaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us please rise for prayer. Merciful God, from the depths of our hearts, we implore you to cast the bright beams of your light upon your church, that as we are instructed in the true worship of you through the blessed doctrine of the apostles, your church and its congregation may ever walk in the light of your truth, so that we may at the last come to the light of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty and everlasting God, who wills that not one of your little ones should perish and has sent your Son to seek and save that which was lost, and through that same Son has said, let the little children come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Most heartily do we beg you to bless and govern the children of your church, so that not one of them would be lost to everlasting salvation. Likewise do we pray that you would continue to secure our school among us, bless the work of its staff and of our parents and their families, that they may train up their children in the way they should go and not depart from it. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Loving Father, we ask you to hear the thanksgivings of Mark and Chris Thompson for the birth of a granddaughter, Charlotte May, to Isabel and Peyton. We ask you to bless mother and child with continued strength and health, granting that Charlotte be brought swiftly to the waters of holy baptism, there to be made your child and an heir of everlasting life. We also pray for Morgan and Patrick Hoban as they this week are anticipating the birth of a daughter. Please, O Lord, be with Morgan as she brings new life into the world, and bless Patrick as he supports his wife through labor and delivery. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, we also ask you to comfort the Page family as this week Daniel mourns the death of his grandmother and Bobby grieves over the sudden death of her mother. Comfort Bobby and Daniel and their children with your presence and grace, that they may look forward to the life to come and the peace of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
All these prayers, and each one that is in our hearts and on our minds, we bring before your throne of grace and mercy as we pray the prayer your Son taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Amen. 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 Amen.
We remain standing for the singing of our closing hymn.
The closing hymn is hymn number 655, Lord, Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word, hymn 655 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. First of all, I'd like to thank all the children from Zion Lutheran School who are here singing for us this morning. We appreciate that very much, and for all their families who are with them today. We have, want to remind everybody that there's no youth group tonight or this afternoon, but that there is roller skating out at school from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock this afternoon, and everybody's invited out to school for roller skating. Voters meeting, we have a voters meeting this Tuesday at 7 p.m. It's a special voters meeting. like to encourage everybody to attend that. We need to elect a delegate for the district convention this summer and the alternate delegate. And also, we need everybody there to take a vote on the heating and air conditioning that needs to be fixed in the auditorium. We have bids on that and work to be done, and we need to get that approved so it can get done before the weather sits in where it's going to be needed. So that is a voters meeting at 7 p.m. Tuesday over in the auditorium. Please attend that voters meeting. Mrs. Rage, did you have something to announce this morning? Oh, yes, if you would just, and Mr. Featon, if you could turn up the lectern, please.
Good morning. Just want to put out a reminder that this Saturday is music trivia night. That's one of our challenge committee events between Zion Lutheran Church and Zion Lutheran School. It is at the American Legion Hall. The doors open at 6, and the event starts from 7 and goes until about 9 o'clock with Twin City Trivia out of Bloomington doing the trivia for us. It's a great event to bring friends from the community to come and join us. We have just a few tables remaining. I think we're at 14 or 15 tables already, and we can usually fit up to 20. So if you were planning to be there, please email Jody out at school this week and reserve your table. Typically, as one of the prizes that we like to have for the games, we ask the members of our church if they are interested in purchasing any Raise Right gift cards for Mrs. Thompson. This is a great, and she's waving in the back, so thank you. Today is a great day to make those gift card purchases. We'll put together a gift basket, and it's a prize basket from the members of Zion Lutheran Church, so we love your support for that too. So just go see Mrs. Thompson after church, and hope to see you on Saturday. Thank you.
Yes, thank you to all you who are praying for our daughter over the last 4 days as she labored and delivered her daughter. So thank you all for that. And yes, Pastor Jay, the 23rd. Yeah. Pastor Jay's on standby so we can go out for the baptism. So for all our guests this morning, again, thank you, and please, you're invited to stay for the special Zion Lutheran School coffee hour, stay for Sunday school, and then have your kids sing again just before the 10 o'clock service, or the 10:30 service, sorry about that. May the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.